This is Jay Sekulow, live from Jerusalem.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everyone, welcome into Jay Sekulow Live. This is Than Bennett coming to you from Washington, D.C. Listen, folks, in just a moment, any moment now, we're going to be joined live on the ground from Jerusalem by the Chief Counsel of the ACLJ, Jay Sekulow, of course, the host of this broadcast. Folks, he is on the ground, and I don't want to steal too much of the thunder from him, but I think many of you can guess why he is on the ground here. We have been looking forward to this day for a long time, folks. In fact, since 1995, it has been the law of the United States that the embassy of the United States in Israel should be located in the capital of Israel, Jerusalem. Well, folks, on Monday, that law is finally going to be honored. The deadline for locating that embassy in Jerusalem had been May 31st, 1999, but for successive administrations, that has not been the case. That is about to change, folks, and I'm going to go right to the ground in Israel, the Chief Counsel of the ACLJ, Jay Sekulow. Jay, a historic day coming, and I am thrilled that you are there for it. What's the update?
Well, I literally landed in Tel Aviv about 2 hours ago, and then we drove up to Jerusalem, where the city streets are lined with Israeli and American flags. Every other flagpole is an American flag, and I could tell you the sentiment among the people of Israel is one of deep admiration for America, for President Trump, for this activity, this action that has taken place. And it's important to note that it has been on the books for 20 years. More than that, it was actually, I think it was 1995 when this was passed, and no president was willing to do it. And this president has done it, and the embassy, of course, opens up on Monday. The events leading up to that are going to take place starting even tomorrow and evening and Sunday. And Pam and I are here representing all of our ACLJ members from all over the country that have been supporting Israel for literally over three decades that we've been doing the work. And this issue of Jerusalem being the capital of Israel is something that has been front and center for us. I didn't know if I was ever going to see it happen, the recognition by the United States, but I am thrilled that it has happened. I am thrilled that we are now in a situation where, and I think it's very clear that the United States has set a strong message. By the way, Guatemala is going to be moving their embassies 2 days later from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So there's a lot happening here on this right now. It's a big, big weekend and a big couple of days for the people of Israel and I think for the people of the United States as well.
Well, Jay, and I couldn't agree with you more. I think it just sends such a strong message from the United States that we will unequivocally stand by our ally. And we've just got about a minute and a half left in this segment of the broadcast. But I think there are many reasons to be happy about this. I mean, certainly for the country, the move is long overdue. But just as someone who's worked alongside you for the last decade or so, I personally, a point of personal privilege, I'm happy for you. This is something that you've worked at for decades. I'm thrilled that you're there for it. I'm thrilled that you can be there as this move happens. It's something that it's so great after more than a decade, right, to see something come to fruition. With just about a minute left, Jay, maybe give us some personal reflection on what this means to you personally.
Well, I'm going to hold my phone out over the city of Jerusalem right now so you can hear the birds chirp and the wind blow, but this is it right now. There's a sense of calm and peace and excitement in the air. Of course, it's Shabbat, so things are quieting down on the Friday evening at the beginning of the Sabbath. But I will tell you what you just kind of heard there with the birds tweeting and a very excited state of Israel and a very grateful state of Israel again to the American people, to our ACLJ members. We've already heard from people thanking us, even on the plane over, by the way. People were thanking me on the plane, members of the ACLJ that were coming over here. So to all of you, thank you so much. We'll take more. Let's get some calls and comments about the importance of this when we come back from the break.
1-800-684-3110 to talk to Jay live in Jerusalem. We'll be right back after this.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're coming to you from Jerusalem, Israel, literally coming from Jerusalem. I just landed a couple hours ago and then made the way up about an hour drive up from Tel Aviv to, from the airport, Ben-Gurion Airport to Jerusalem. And I will tell you, when you come down the main arteries here, the main streets, you see these American flags next to Israeli flags. People on the plane coming over, flying out of New York, came up to me and Pam and said how much they appreciate the work that the ACLJ has done, but they're also saying they're members of the ACLJ, and I always say we couldn't do it without you, and they're all excited about this moment. But here we were flying over, and I mean everybody from other people that were coming to attend the events to the flight attendants on the aircraft were so appreciative of this moment in history. And again, a huge thank you to the president for doing this. And I say that because this is something I've been, like, Ben, you mentioned this during the break. I've been working on this for over 20 years because I started working on it before there was a resolution to do this. And we've got a brand new book out called Jerusalem, the Biblical and Historic Case for the Jewish Capital. And it couldn't have come out a more timely moment. I'm going to be on with Matt and Laurie Crouch, I think, tomorrow. I think we're going to be coming out of their studios here at TBN. I don't know if it's going to be airing live. Maybe you all can check. And again, later in the week as well, after the embassy opens. So there's a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of excitement in the air here. This is a big moment. I mean, look, Israel had the right to designate Jerusalem as its capital. That's rather an unremarkable proposition of law. But what is remarkable is that we finally acknowledged it and took the bold move of moving the embassy, taking the existing consulate, certifying it up, and declaring it the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. Now, there'll eventually be a much bigger building put in place in the next couple of years, but as it stands right now, there's a lot of building going on here in Jerusalem, but as it stands right now, the U.S. Embassy will be in Jerusalem for Israel, effective on Monday, and I'm going to be seeing, I'll be with dignitaries, government leaders, the Prime Minister, others, over the next several days. And I just would like to hear from our members, Stan, what they'd like me to share. Let them, and of course, one of the things I know people want me to share is that the American people are standing with Israel. And I'm going to tell you this also, the faith community has played a huge role in this. And the government of Israel, the state of Israel knows that and are very, very grateful for the Christian community that has stood with Israel through thick and thin, and now at this particularly joyous time.
Well, Jay, let me give you just a flavor of what you're hearing, because you mentioned that our ACLJ members have been right along with us through this whole fight, right along with you, even longer than I've been a part of the organization. But here are some of the comments that are coming in on Facebook right now. Adelie says, my family stands with Israel. Sharon says, thank you for all you do for Israel. Ron says, this move to Jerusalem was long overdue. We will always stand with Israel. And Joyce says, this is wonderful that Jay is there. And Jay, I would just say that was the first thought I had when I woke up this morning as well. I was just excited to know that you were on the ground, that you were going to be able to participate in this historic opening that you'd looked forward to for so long. And while we've got you, I know we don't have you for the entirety of the broadcast, but I wanted to go to a call. Christine is calling from Ohio, really expressing some of the same sentiment. She's happy that you're on the ground. I wanted to get her on the air with you. Christine is calling on line one from Ohio. Christine, you're on the air.
Hi, Jay. I was in Israel in November. Hi, and thank you for being over there. I am so excited that we all get to share in this celebration together. I'm so excited about the Embassy of the United States being in Israel's capital, Jerusalem. And I know this is just going to be a special weekend for you. And thank you for standing with Israel. And thank you for giving all of us who are listening with you the opportunity to share in this moment. This is such a big deal.
You all are here with us. I mean, we're here as your representatives, our members of the American Center for Law and Justice, the ACLJ, and a lot of you have been with us for a long, long time, and some of you are new to the ACLJ. But let me tell you this: when we're meeting with dignitaries, when we're talking with political leaders, talking with other faith-based community leaders that are going to be here, we are representing your interests. So understand this. Pam and I are basically your delegates, your ambassadors for this trip, because this is an historic time. You know, Pam and I debated, as everybody knows, I've got a lot going on a lot of levels right now. But you kind of debate going, don't go. And even when you got on the plane saying, I hope we're doing the right thing here, but there was no question when we landed, we have. And I'm glad we did make the trip. And again, there's a lot of excitement in the air and a lot of appreciation coming from the Israeli people to the Americans, their American friends, and specifically to the president and the administration for taking this bold move.
Yeah, there's no shortage of things to work on, Jay. And, of course, you'll obviously have to continue that work while you're over there. But I'm with you. I mean, this is an opportunity that comes around less than once a generation. It is literally, in my opinion, it's a transformational moment in American policy. And, Jay, I also think it speaks to the importance of a consistent foreign policy. And, by the way, one that also respects the rule of law. You mentioned several times that this was required under U.S. law for a long time now. I just want to read you one line from the Jerusalem Embassy Act of 1995. It said, the United States Embassy in Israel should be established in Jerusalem no later than May 31st, 1999. The failure to follow that law has not been a partisan thing. It has crossed both sides of the aisle. It's spanned multiple administrations. There have been various excuses along the way for why it has not happened. But the bottom line is, we did not respect the choice of a sovereign ally, the nation of Israel, to the location of their capital. And we did not follow the rule of law as well. But that is about to end, Jay. The order to move the embassy has been made. That will happen on Monday. You're going to be there to witness it. And so it really ties a lot of these issues that we're talking about together. It sends a message to the world, I think, that when the United States says it will do something, it's going to follow through in its word. And I would say this, to allies and enemies alike, that consistency in a foreign policy is going to be very important in the days ahead.
There's no question about it. And if you look at the geopolitical ramifications of this move, I think the most positive aspect of this is that it's a recognition among the regional partners, and those that may not be that are in the region but are not partners, that the United States means business. We've taken an issue off the table. This is you're not seeing any real fight on this within the Arab League or Arab world. You're seeing a lot of basically either quiet acceptance. Some people saying it's inevitable within the Muslim world, but particularly the Jordan, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, the new alliance that's developed here. There's a much bigger enemies at stake right now, and that's called Iran. And the whole region knows that. So, again, it was just, you had just days ago, the attack in the northern portion of Israel, the border with Syria. No one was hurt, and the defensive dome was successful. But look, the Israeli people aren't going anywhere, and they're very grateful to the Americans, and we are grateful to our ACLJ members.
Well, and look, there are other hotspots in the world, and I think it sets the table for dealing with those. I think you send a clear message that you have a president of the United States and a secretary of state, a full diplomatic corps that is willing to back that up. And Jay, I think if you look at sort of the main hotspots, you mentioned Iran. Of course, there's also North Korea. You had the prisoners released. But I see a circumstance where you have a consistent policy being put forward, and then you have a choice for countries around the world. You see North Korea, at least at this point, yeah, moving in the direction of the United States, taking strides to be an ally, hopefully in the future, and being rewarded for that. Now, we don't know how that's going to end up. The president of the United States has said that he might have to walk away at any given moment. But Jay, to me, the important thing is extending an ally to the rest of the world with a consistent approach and say, if you confront the United States, you will be met with strength. But if you move towards the United States, we will stand with you. Of course, over the decades, there's been no greater ally than the state of Israel. And I think what you're going to see over the next couple of decades, I'd be interested in your thoughts here, is I think we're going to see more people move toward the United States as opposed to away from us.
Look, the policy of Donald Trump on these foes that we have is maximum pressure. And we've seen maximum pressure work in North Korea. We're going to see maximum pressure work in Iran. Maximum pressure is going to work on the Palestinians. If they continue to incite their people to kill innocents, they're going to not get funding. And you'll start seeing world opinion change. And as I said, other embassies are moving here during this very week. So there's a lot in play here besides just the United States move. Guatemala is opening their embassy here. So you now have got different regions of the world recognizing what is inevitable, and that is Jerusalem, the eternal capital of Israel, is here to stay. We all knew that, but now you're seeing it. And again, when we're meeting with government leaders over the next several days and Israeli citizens, we're going to be representing you, our friends at the ACLJ, our members, and let them know your thoughts and your comments on this. It's really important. A historic moment, no doubt, coming to you from Jerusalem, the eternal capital of the Jewish people.
Just it literally gives me chills to hear that, folks. Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice, on the ground in Jerusalem, in Israel, preparing for the opening of the U.S. Embassy in the eternal capital of Israel, the city of Jerusalem. That'll happen on Monday. We're excited that Jay is joining us on the ground. We want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110 to be a part of the broadcast. Again, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be back right after this.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett coming to you from Washington, D.C., joined by Colonel Wes Smith and Professor Harry Hutchison in our studios in Tennessee. Folks, we were just joined by Jay Sekulow from the ground in Israel. He's there for the opening of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem on Monday. It just gave me so much joy to hear him on the ground, to hear him prepare for this moment that he's been working for decades. I've worked alongside of him for the last 12 years, working for this moment where U.S. law would be respected. U.S. law says that we must recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and we must put our embassy there. The deadline for that move was May 31st, 1999. It has not been accomplished, but it will be accomplished on Monday, and Jay will be there for it. I could not be more excited for him. And we're going to talk about that issue. We're going to talk about several other issues, Iran, North Korea, the capture of ISIS leaders. Folks, we've barely gotten to that story this week. Normally, that would have been a headline for the entire week. But it has been a sensational week for foreign policy in the United States. But I want to start this segment with this conversation. Early yesterday morning, as the three Americans who were released from a North Korean prison landed in Andrews Air Force Base, just a few miles from where I sit now, as they got off that plane, as they stepped onto the tarmac, they handed a handwritten note to the Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence. And I told our Facebook listeners during the break that it was going to be a little bit risky for me to read this because it touched me so much this morning, I had trouble getting through it. But I want you to listen to these words. They're from Psalm 126, but they were written by these prisoners to the Vice President of the United States as a way of thanking him and the President for their roles in bringing them home. Here's what they wrote. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Folks, that is what you get when you have a U.S. foreign policy of consistent strength. You make allies, you confront enemies, and prisoners come home. I want to run this to Colonel Smith. Colonel Smith, he's a senior military analyst for the ACLJ, also a former chaplain in the U.S. Army. Colonel Smith, I read that this morning. It touched me on a personal level, but I think it is a poignant example of exactly why we advocate for a foreign policy of strength, because yes, it is necessary to confront our enemies, but it is also a posture that brings prisoners home and brings relief to people who need it. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that was very, very touching, and how apropos as to what went on yesterday with the release of these three hostages. You know, during my time then that I was stationed in South Korea, I went over there thinking that this is Asia. Probably most of the people will be Buddhist or some other kind of religion. The Christian church is huge in South Korea. They are a very religious people. Their Sunday morning attendance at worship services, percentage-wise, far exceeds church attendance in the United States. And so thinking about that and about these three Korean Americans and that note, I thought, wow, what a great note, how fitting it is, and it certainly applies to them. And our president is really leading the way in emphasizing to the world that in the United States, you have no better, more closer, more loyal friend. And in the United States, if you choose to oppose, you know, freedom and the rule of law and justice and those Western values, you will have no worse adversary. And in this case, the United States came through for three of our own citizens. And it was a touching moment at 2:20 in the morning yesterday.
Yeah, and it's something that can't be taken away. I mean, look, we've been very honest on this broadcast. We've got a long way to go with North Korea. We don't know where this will end. We don't know if they will emerge into the civilized world and provide an environment where their citizens can flourish. But what we do know is that these prisoners are home, and that can't be taken away. Look, the president has been very clear as well. He said if Kim Jong-un walks away, if he starts moving away from the United States, he will be the first one to walk away, and that is why he has not made any concessions. That is why he has actually turned sanctions up on North Korea. He is not going to give anything away in advance of what a traditionally untrustworthy negotiating partner has been. So we don't know where it will end up, but we know these three Americans are home, and that is certainly a step in the right direction. I want to go to Professor Harry Hutchison, Director of Policy at the ACLJ, and just kind of zoom out a little bit, Harry, because as I've thought about all of these issues in foreign policy that have been taking place over the last week and that will take place next Monday, The thought that came to my mind is just how important it has been for us to show a consistent foreign policy across the world, whether it's an ally or an enemy. It's important for the United States to speak very clearly. If you move towards the United States, we will welcome you in. We will look to improve relations with you. If you behave hostily or if you threaten our enemies, you will be confronted with strength. It is really, in my opinion, Harry, it's an about face from what we saw during the Obama administration, and it has yielded results. There will be conflicts moving forward. I don't have a whole lot of doubt about that. We're seeing some of that in Iran right now. But Harry, if you would, talk for just a moment about the importance of having a consistent policy across the globe. It's probably even more important than having a consistent policy domestically, because the world has to know where the United States stands.
I think you're absolutely correct. I think President Trump's decision to focus on maximum pressure with respect to our enemies does produce results in the long term. And I believe President Trump has the ability to focus on maximum pressure going forward with respect to anyone in the world. So we've sent a strong signal to the North Koreans. We've sent a strong signal to the Iranians. Next Monday, we send a very strong signal to our allies that we will stand with countries that support the rule of law, that do not take Americans hostage unlawfully. And so I think this will produce results. I agree that we have to be wary going forward in any negotiation scheme with the North Koreans. But I also believe the North Koreans know today that this president will not be played. That benefits the United States in the long term.
He says what he means, and he will follow through. If you move toward the United States, he will reward you for that. If you move away from the United States, you will be met with strength. And Wes, we're running out of time in this segment of the broadcast. We'll talk about all these issues more in the back 30 of the broadcast. And by the way, if you lose us at the break here, if your radio station does not carry the second 30 minutes of Jay Sekulow Live, you can always find us streaming on Facebook at ACLJ or Jay Sekulow, also on Twitter with Periscope or at ACLJ.org. But Wes, quickly, I wanted to get your thoughts on the capture of five ISIS leaders. Yet another victory in this week for American foreign policy. We barely touched on it. Give us a quick update in the next 30 seconds on that capture.
Right. Part of what we did in the train and assist mission in Iraq is that we trained their special operators, their special forces people, and as well as their law enforcement. And some of these trained Iraqi professionals, with our support, captured five ISIS leaders. And it sort of kept quiet. It didn't make the headlines initially. One individual was captured first, the aide to al-Baghdadi, and then four others later. The intelligence that we're gathering from this is allowing us to take the fight to ISIS in new ways. They still have pockets where they rule in southeastern Syria. They are even beginning to lose that now. These five guys being captured was a huge intelligence coup for Iraq and for the United States, and it certainly helps us in our war against ISIS.
Five ISIS leaders captured, American prisoners home from North Korea, and the U.S. Embassy moving to Jerusalem on Monday. Folks, if you want to talk to us about any of those or other foreign policy, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be back right after this.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at ACLJ.org.
everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett coming to you from Washington, D.C., joined by Colonel Wes Smith and Professor Harry Hutchison. Jay Sekulow, on the ground in Israel, preparing for the opening of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, the eternal capital of Israel. That will happen on Monday. Jay has traveled to Israel for it. I could not be happier for him. I wanted to give us a little bit of a dose of reality as we open this broadcast, or this half of the broadcast, though, and then I'm going to get to your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. In the midst of this overwhelmingly positive week for the United States and for our foreign policy around the world, one of the biggest things that happened was three Americans who had been imprisoned, really held hostage in North Korea, returned home. And you would think that that would be a moment where all of Washington, D.C., all of America really would celebrate. Unfortunately, that has not been the case. And I want to play a piece of sound here from Senator Chuck Schumer. He's the Democrat leader of the minority, the Democrat Party in the United States Senate. And I want to juxtapose that against what happened during the Obama administration when some prisoners came home and the reaction that we had, even in the face of some terms that we did not agree with. But first, to set that up, I want you to hear directly from Senator Schumer. This was on the floor of the United States Senate. And the appropriate thing here, folks, is these were not off-the-cuff remarks. These were prepared remarks. This is what Senator Chuck Schumer intended to say. This is his reaction to the return of four hostages from a North Korea prison. Bite number four, Senator Chuck Schumer.
Their release should not be exalted. It should be expected. It is no great accomplishment of Kim Jong-un to do this. And when the president does it, he weakens American foreign policy and puts Americans at risk around the world.
Folks, I'm going to say it like it is. That's disgusting. Their release should not be exalted. No, that is exactly wrong. When three American prisoners come home, all of Americans should rejoice. Now, look, I understand Senator Schumer liked the Iran deal. I don't understand why he did, but I do know that he liked the deal. He wished that President Trump would have stayed in the deal. I understand that. He can say that. But just because it's happening simultaneously with the release of American prisoners from North Korea doesn't mean that he cannot also rejoice that these three hostages have returned home to their families and to their freedom. Remember, the last American that was returned home from North Korea died shortly after. These three appear to be in good health. It is cause for celebration. And I'm going to get Professor Harry Hutchison's reaction here because, Harry, I remember back when the Obama administration was successful in obtaining the release of American prisoners from Iran. It was happening in direct conjunction with an Iranian deal that we vehemently disagreed, and we stated our disagreement with that deal. But we also rejoiced at the return of American prisoners who had been held hostage. They returned home. You can do both simultaneously. When I read these comments, when I hear these comments from Senator Schumer, I'm saddened, I'm grieved, and I would just call for people that may be of his party to not follow that example. We should all be celebrating the fact that these prisoners are home. Harry?
Absolutely correct. Basically, Senator Schumer suffers from a Trump derangement syndrome. The release of three Americans from North Korea in response to President Trump's strong leadership has drawn an absolutely impotent response from Senator Schumer. Where was Schumer when Otto Warmbier was returned to the United States in an unconscious state? Where was Chuck Schumer when President Obama paid a king's ransom to the Iranians in exchange for a flawed, front-loaded Iranian deal? Chuck Schumer was absent without leave.
Well, and Senator Schumer also warned President Trump against a quick, bad deal with North Korea. Look, that's why President Trump has made no concessions with North Korea. And I do also wonder where Senator Schumer was during that Iran deal, which is clearly proven to be a bad deal, which has not restricted their ability to obtain a nuclear weapon. In fact, it's put them on a certain path to obtaining that weapon. Folks, if you want to respond to Senator Schumer's remarks, if you want to express your disagreement, hopefully you won't express an agreement with him, if you want to express appreciation that these hostages are home or appreciation that our embassy is about to be in the eternal capital of Israel, I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. We'll get right to those calls after this break. 1-800-684-3110.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. During the break, our viewers on Facebook had the opportunity to see a video talking about the capture of five ISIS leaders, most of them out of Iraq. Folks, a very significant development, especially since this fight against ISIS has really moved from one of taking back territory to tracking down leaders who are on the run. I mean, that's really what ISIS now is, leaders who have dispersed from the territory they once held and are trying to inflict harm from elsewhere on a more isolated basis. So the capture of these five leaders was very significant. Had a chance to play a video during the break, but it was a very significant accomplishment. I'm going to go to Don's call on line three in just a moment here. But before we do so, I wanted to set up two responses to the release of these American hostages from North Korea that are coming from the Democrat side of the aisle in the United States Senate. One is negative, shockingly negative, and then one is positive. And I want to give you a juxtaposition of these two responses. So I know I played it in the last segment of the broadcast, but I want to play for you again some fairly unbelievable sound out of the Democrat leader of the United States Senate, Chuck Schumer. This is a prepared statement that he gave from the floor of the United States Senate responding to the fact that three American hostages came home from North Korea. Let's play it, bite four.
Their release should not be exalted. It should be expected. It is no great accomplishment of Kim Jong-un to do this. And when the president does it, he weakens American foreign policy and puts Americans at risk around the world.
He's right. He's wrong on all four counts. First of all, the release should not be exalted. No, it absolutely should be exalted. They're back with their families where they belong. Second, he says that it should be expected. Yes, that's true, I guess. It should be expected. That's why the president made no concessions in demanding it. Third, it's no great accomplishment of Kim Jong-un to do this. And when the president does it, he weakens American foreign policy and puts Americans at risk in the world. No, actually, he's brought Kim Jong-un to the table and he's brought the Americans home. So Senator Schumer couldn't be more wrong. I am grateful, however, Senator Ben Cardin, Democrat from Maryland, was on an interview on MSNBC and asked if this was a victory for President Trump. He responded just a bit differently. Here is Senator Cardin, bite 15.
Would you characterize it as a victory for President Trump?
It's a victory for the American people whenever we can get our people back home. And we wanted the diplomacy to work in regards to eliminating the nuclear threat of North Korea. So that's all very positive, and it's under Donald Trump. So absolutely, we give him credit.
That is the correct response. The goal is a denuclearized North Korea, and it is a better relations with a North Korea that is moving into the civilized world and providing a better way of life for the American people. So I congratulate Senator Cardin, and I would encourage Senator Schumer to reevaluate his position. I want to go to the phones now, 1-800-684-3110 to be a part of the broadcast. I appreciate you folks for holding on. Let's start with Don calling from South Carolina on line three. Don, I appreciate you holding for 20 minutes. I'm glad to have you a part of the broadcast. Go ahead.
Thank you. We're donors to ACLJ. We're proud of Jay being
thank
in Israel at this momentous occasion, and I share your excitement. We were just in Washington with a group this past week. And I'm ashamed of Senator Schumer. I appreciate your statements. But I look back at this Jerusalem Embassy Act of 1995, passed both houses of Congress overwhelmingly, 93-5, even in the Senate, we should remind Mr. Schumer. And it passed, as you know, without the signature of a Democratic president, which was Bill Clinton. And I think this should be just one indication that we can remind the American people that even with an overwhelming majority of senators from both parties agreeing that Bill Clinton would not sign this bill for the embassy to be moved to Jerusalem, and the fact that that even with that majority, he still wouldn't sign it, but it became law, and it took all this time for it to finally happen. And we ought to remind the American people that the tax law that we just got in December passed without any Democratic approval, and that we had this overwhelming move to move the embassy to Jerusalem without a Democratic president signing a bill that was agreed upon by both houses of Congress in an overwhelming manner. We should remind the American people of that.
Don, you've got your history correct on this, and that's certainly the case with the law that passed back in 1995. It was enacted while Bill Clinton was president. He did not sign it. There was an overwhelming majority of both the House and the Senate that were in favor of it. So it went on the books. But it's not a partisan issue on why it has not occurred. Presidents of both parties, every president of both parties, from Bill Clinton on all the way up until Donald Trump, declined to follow the law. They used a waiver that was available under the law to perpetually kick the can down the road, to decline to formally recognize Jerusalem as the capital, and to signify that by moving our consulate, upscaling it to an embassy and placing it in Jerusalem. All of them, Don, declined to do that. But here's the good news. We no longer have to focus on that history, because now, May 14th, 2018, the 70th anniversary of the establishment of Israel, that will take place under President Trump. And again, I'll say this again, I said it in the first half of the broadcast, point of personal privilege here. The fact that Jay gets to be there for this, the fact that he gets to see the fruition of his works come to life and come to pass, it gives me great pleasure. It's great for the United States of America. It's great for Israel. It sends a clear message to the rest of the world. And Wes, I know this is a significant moment for you as well, but I think it's a significant foreign policy achievement, but it maybe is an even more important symbolic achievement. It says to Israel, we will be by you. We know the future has a lot of threats against you, but as you face those, we're going to be right there next to you.
Yeah, absolutely. It says that loud and clear. We are our close ally. Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East and a true friend to the United States, and the United States is a true friend to them. It's a shame that it took 19 years from the time this was supposed to happen for it to happen this coming Monday for the embassy to be moved to Jerusalem. But we are so glad that it is happening. And two countries have followed our example. I predict, then, there will be many, many more countries who will also move their embassies to Jerusalem. They look both overtly and covertly, they look to the United States for leadership. And I think it's interesting because there are 193 sovereign nations that are part of the United Nations. Israel was the only one nation out of those 193 that the other nations did not put their embassies in the capital of that country. All the other nations of the world, our embassies are always in their capital city. That was not the case with Israel. The United States is just about to change that.
Impossible to think about that a sovereign country would choose their own capital. We would decline to recognize it. And oh, by the way, that country is not an enemy of ours. It is our staunchest ally in the world. And until now, we had not done it. It's pretty shocking to think about. But fortunately, it's about to be remedied. I want to get more of your calls in. 1-800-684-3110. Still a couple of lines open. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Jody calling from Michigan on line two. Jody, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Oh, hi. It's good to be on the air, and I want to thank you for your show and everything you do and all the information you get out to us.
Thank you for listening, Jody.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to make a comment about Senator Schumer, and I think what is going on is what he said was reprehensible, and I have a feeling he would not have said what he said if any of the people coming home were his brother, his uncle, his cousin, you know, a good neighbor. And we tend sometimes to forget that we're all Americans and somebody we know is related to somebody else. And if we could all just look at each other and say, what if that were your brother? We would look very much differently at things and quit making secular judgments politically.
I could not agree with you more, Jody. You have to be able to separate these things. I mean, yes, one can have an impact on the other. But again, when hostages came home from Iran, even in the face of an Iranian deal that was not much of a deal at all, that we vehemently opposed, we celebrated the return of those hostages. The same should have been true. And I would just submit to you this. Senator Schumer might not have any relatives that came home, but as a federal elected representative of the United States, a U.S. senator, in fact, the leader of the minority party in the United States Senate, he has an obligation to advocate for these prisoners. He has an obligation to celebrate. And I would suggest to him that his response should have been more like Senator Cardin's, and it probably should have been more like Senator James Lankford, who's been a tireless advocate for Andrew Brunson in Turkey. I want to play you some sound from Senator Lankford, actually. This was also from the Senate floor, a little bit different than what you heard from Senator Schumer. This is Byte 20, Senator James Lankford.
I thought I would never say this sentence, but I would like to see Turkey follow the example of North Korea and release American hostages that they're holding. Now, when Turkey, a NATO ally, is behind North Korea and how they're handling humanitarian issues, Turkey has moved to a very bad spot, and it's not a place that they need to stay.
Well, Senator Lankford is correct, but here's the good news. Every country of the world, whether they're holding American hostages or not, now gets a very clear message from the United States. If you work with us, if you cooperate with us, if you move towards the free world, we will work with you. We will draw you into better relations. If you confront us, you will be met with strength. It is a very consistent foreign policy message. It has been delivered very clearly on a number of fronts this week, and the Trump administration should be congratulated for it. Folks, in the last segment of the broadcast, we'll get as many calls as we can. 1-800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. In this final segment of the broadcast, we are going to get as many of your phone calls and comments in as we can. Again, if you want to be a part of the broadcast, the number to call is 1-800-684-3110. We are going to start on line 4 with Tim calling in from North Carolina. Tim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my call, and just thank you to everyone there for all the work that you do advocating for people around the globe. You've made an incredible impact in a lot of lives. I wasn't going to call until you played Senator Schumer's quote for the second time, and it just got my blood boiling. And I guess the part that angers me the most about his comments are that if anybody weakened America's foreign policy, it was Obama when he exchanged terrorist prisoners for Bo Bergdahl, not to mention the trove of cash that was involved in that deal. And for him to stand there and say that in the office that he holds, I think is disgraceful. And unfortunately,
I think it's a fair point, Tim. I think it's a fair point, Tim. And, you know, honestly, I don't even think you have to get to that level of analysis. I certainly understand why you do. But look, there's going to be policy disagreements. I mean, we're going to have disagreements in the United States of America. In one way, that's what makes us great, the freedom to debate those differences. But look, there should be no equivocation on this. It is a good thing when American hostages come home, and everyone should acknowledge it. Certainly the leader of one of the two major parties in the United States Senate should be willing to say it is a positive development when an American hostage comes home. Because, you know, hypothetically, if you fast forward a few months from now and the North Korea situation does not resolve, let's say it's not successful, as President Trump has indicated it may not be, it is still a good thing that these three hostages are home, and Senator Schumer should be willing and, in fact, eager to acknowledge that. I didn't really want to go negative on today's broadcast because it's been such a positive week, but I think that hypocrisy really has to be pointed out. Senator Schumer should be ashamed. And frankly, we'll continue to play it if he does not change his course of action. He really needs to do so. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Pauline calling from New Hampshire on line 1. Pauline, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you, and God bless you for all the wonderful things you do. But my statement is when Obama was in, we had, I believe it was 5 prisoners being held in deplorable conditions in Iran, one of them being Pastor Abedini Saeed. And they were not being released no matter what was being done. Then, under ridiculous circumstances, this plane full of billions of dollars was sent to Iran, and these prisoners were not allowed to leave the tarmac until Iran got the money, and then they were released. Now we have the blessing of 3 of prisoners from North Korea being released, and Chuck Schumer is downing that. No, this is wrong. We paid no money to get these prisoners back, but by the grace of God, they're home safe and sound. And
it's a great point, Pauline. I mean, there's just no comparison on the terms of these two different prisoner releases. On one, a plane full of cash and a pile of sanction relief went toward Iran. In this case, no concessions were made. In fact, sanctions were increased on North Korea before these prisoners came home. And I just quickly wanted to go to Colonel Smith on this issue of Iran, because, Colonel, I think we'd be remiss if we left this broadcast without mentioning the escalation of a conflict between Israel and Iran and the one that exists there. I wondered if you could give a brief update. In my opinion, it really confirms everything that we've said, that it's really only a matter of time before Iran tries to follow through on what they've been saying thing they want to do, which is have a conflict with Israel. But of course, you're far better off if that reality at least shows itself when they don't have nuclear weapons. I think it confirms the fact that leaving the deal with Iran was the right move. There's certainly going to be some issues that have to be dealt with, but you certainly want to deal with them on this side of Iran obtaining a nuclear weapon. Wes?
Yeah, absolutely. You're correct, then. And to the caller's point, Iran took those billions of dollars in freed up money that we gave them to export terrorism around the world, including in Syria on the border with Israel. Some of those weapons that are stationed along Israel's border and some of them that were fired 2 days ago were purchased by Iranian money. They received funds from us that their own citizenry are really upset about because they're spending that money on terrorism and on their own military and their weapons program. But yeah, Israel is our chief ally in the area. Iran, now that we're out of the JCPOA, we're seeing who they really are. I've contended for some time now that I believe they are still secretly researching and developing nuclear weapons in spite of the JCPOA. Now that we're out of it, we can take the blinders off. We can quit playing pretend-like. But in the meantime, what we're seeing with Iran's behavior literally throughout that region, especially their first direct attack on Israel in decades, is that this is who they really are. These are their intents. And as you said, it's much better to face an Iran without a nuclear weapon and to take a tough and realistic stance against them and with our ally Israel than to wait until they have a nuclear weapon. And the president has vowed the same thing with Iran that he did with North Korea, that they will not be allowed to possess a nuclear weapon.
I would tell you they're probably continuing that program on the military sites that are not allowed to be inspected or on the ones that they are responsible for inspecting themselves. I don't think it takes a brilliant mind to deduce that. The Israel's defense minister said this. He said, if there is rain on our side, there will be a flood on their side. I think that probably says it all. Max on Periscope, I wanted to get Harry's response to this. Max on Periscope said, the Iran deal would end with Iran having nukes. A deal with North Korea will prevent them from having them. Professor Hutchison, I think from a policy perspective, I think Max probably has it about right.
I think that's absolutely correct. So first, it's important to note that the Iran deal solidified the brutal Iranian regime, and it unleashed the Iranian military to engage in adventurism, in the Middle East. And it's very, very important to note that at the end of the JCPOA, Iran would have hundreds of billions of dollars along with a nuclear weapon. So that's very, very important to note. I think if the negotiations with North Korea are successful, we will then denuclearize the North Korean peninsula, and this will bode well for peace in the region. So there's a clear distinction between President Obama and his negotiation of the Iran deal and President Trump negotiating with the North Korean leader.
I want to go quickly to Tony from New Jersey on line 4. Tony, I apologize. I've got about 30 seconds for you, but you're on the air.
No problem, Than. God bless you all. I just want to say my heart is so overjoyed with the prophecy of the Bible coming to fruition with Jerusalem. And I do want to just say that President Trump, at this time, I believe we're in biblical times, and that we have the best chance of peace around the world at this moment under our President Trump.
Tony, I'm only jumping in because I'm about ready to hit the end of the broadcast. I'm going to leave you with two thoughts. The first is three names: Kim Dong-chul, Kim Hak-song, and Tony Kim. Americans who are home because of the strong foreign policy of this administration. And then second, our chief counsel, Jay Sekulow, on the ground in Israel, looking forward to Monday's opening of an embassy in the eternal capital of Israel, Jerusalem. Folks, it's a day that all of us here at the ACLJ and all of you have been looking toward for a long time. What a great day for the United States and our ally Israel. We'll talk to you on Monday.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.